Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. Hope you've had a good week. July 4th is tomorrow. Hope you have a very special day remembering what that day was all about. That's what we're going to talk about today, but I've got a few news stories to cover before we dig in and look at why did those men that signed the Declaration of Independence, why did they pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor? Why would they do something like that? Well, we're going to talk about that today, and I hope to inspire you to understand we have to have that same kind of commitment today again, or we are going to lose what they paid so high of price for us to have. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. But those of you watching on all the different platforms, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Please like, please comment, please share, and please consider going to agendaweekly.com and becoming a subscriber where you'll get all the rest of the things we provide. The news summary of the week, the prayer and action items, the other educational articles and videos. Thank you for being there and being a part of what we do. We really appreciate you that are subscribers. So in starting off, a couple news items I just wanted to briefly mention before we dig into America. Who are we? Where did we come from? Where have we gone? And where do we need to turn back to? But John McAfee, he, a week ago, of course, was supposedly committed suicide. Well, we know that's not true. He had warned over and over again that the government was coming after him to kill him. And if he was ever found dead, don't listen to it. We have a video below that explains a little more details about that. It's another tragedy that probably will never be looked into. Everyone will, he committed suicide, like Epstein, who didn't commit suicide. He had enough evidence to get off free and clear from whatever he did, because he knew hundreds of world leaders, hundreds of top officials that had been to his island and done evil, wicked things, and he would never have killed himself. He was already known as a pedophile, so that image wasn't like, oh, that wrecked his image. He had already been convicted of that a decade before. But John McAfee is the same thing, someone that had tremendous amounts of information on the corruptness of our government and other governments, and he is the one that, you know, started the software, the antivirus software. And anyway, he supposedly has left 31 terabytes of information that people are going to start letting out now in case he was ever to be killed, about things that will probably be very interesting and condemning of many. So we'll see what happens with that. But I hate when I see evil being done and then it's ignored as if, no, he just killed himself. Another thing, that the building collapse in Miami. I don't know all the details yet, but I feel like the day that happens, something is going on there. And I'm not sure. I'm going to keep digging in to find out, because it just, something didn't seem right. The day it happened, my wife even said, that's not right. Something is going on there. And I really feel that's the case as well. Another video below you need to watch. Tucker Carlson, who's the biggest mainstream news anchor in America, has more views than anyone else. He found out this week he's being surveilled by the NSA. They're monitoring all his emails, his phone calls, and a whistleblower came to him, and the video is about that. But watch that. That is 1984. That is Soviet Russia. When they start doing that, it's criminal for them to do that. We kind of know they're doing that, but we don't ever say, you have to stop doing that. But he's standing up against that. And I'm just telling you, if something happens to him, and I've been worried about him for about a year now, because he's so directly, he's the only one in all of mainstream media that will attack an issue with the truth, regardless of who he needs to mention, regardless of what, who it's going to expose or reveal. And he's been doing that, and you can't do that. Rudy Giuliani found that out. They're going to disbar you, throw you out if you ever come against us. Well, he's been doing that. They're going to come against him. But if they take him out in a car wreck or a suicide, we will be entering a completely new stage of the revolution against America. But that concerns me. But anyway, those are a few key stories. Oh, and one other one I was going to mention. The man that was sitting in Nancy Pelosi's seat in the Capitol, now as the whole story's coming out, and his lawyers are really starting to present their case against how his constitutional rights were just so trampled on. He even told us, he goes, the media told me to go sit in that seat. They wanted to get a shot of that. And that's what provoked me to even sit in her chair. So this whole thing was a setup, a staged thing where they could maximize the influence of it. But another story revealing the whole thing was a lie. Everything we're told, FBI agents are the ones that instigated it and got people to go in, but 99% of the people in there didn't do anything except take selfies and walk around and kind of be excited that, hey, we're in the Capitol. And that's it. As we've already talked about, no one was killed except a sweet veteran lady on our side by some careless security guard in the Capitol. And there was no violence, there was no weapons, there was no insurrection, there was nothing. If it would have been insurrection, our side would have been there if it was time to do that with fully automatic machine guns, fully bulletproof gear, and they would have done that. And that's what they're acting like we did. We didn't. I hope they're not that stupid to think that's an insurrection on our part. If the day comes where we need to do an insurrection, they'll know it. They'll know it clearly when you have a million fully armed, fully geared people to take back our country. And that might happen in our lifetime because, again, we are truly being taken over. Tomorrow, people all over America are going to be celebrating July 4th. Why do we celebrate July 4th? Because that's the day America declared itself independent from England. Why did we do that? A lot of people don't know. A lot of people think it was a revolution, that we talk about that so frequently, but that's not the case. And I want to talk about that today. America did not have a revolution, but I want to talk about what we did have and what the principles were and what the price was that they had to pay to be free. The Declaration of Independence, you know, there were 56 signers. They were wealthy men, educated men, had very nice lives, but they had come together. And I want to read this article, a few excerpts from it, from Michael Smith. But listen to this. Have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? You know, what happened when they signed that and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor? Was that a big deal? Did anything come about from that? A lot of us nowadays haven't studied that, so we're like, well, they just signed that. But we don't understand the price that was paid. But here's what happened. Five signers were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died in the Revolutionary War. What kind of men were they? Who were they? It's important for us to know. 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers, large plantation owners, men of means and well-educated. We can tell that by their writings. They were brilliant. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. That's how serious it was. They knew when they signed that thing, it really was their life. It wasn't just, well, I want to act like I'm patriotic or something. They knew that was the price. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in rags. That's one of them. Thomas McKean was hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family constantly. He was always on the run. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals and soldiers looted the properties of 8 other of the families, just looted and destroyed their properties. Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. So you have one of the British generals come just take over your home and kick you out. The owner quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. And then we have Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died while she was in jail. Do you see the price that was paid? This wasn't a little flag-waving event to them. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying, and their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his businesses were laid to waste, and for more than a year, he lived in the forest and caves, returning home to find that his wife had died and his children were gone. He couldn't find them ever again. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion trying to find them. That's a high price. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. Those were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they had valued liberty more than that. If they would have just lived the rest of their life out, they would have had a very nice life. But they realized, no, we must sacrifice now at this point if we want our children and grandchildren, which that's who we are, as Americans, to be free. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged, "For the support of this declaration, we affirm reliance on the protection of divine providence of God, and we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." That's who we are. Karl Marx long ago said, the very first battle is the rewriting of history. That's why last summer when we saw our buildings being burned down, our cities and just being rioted, and the statues toppling and stuff, it was liberal leftist Marxist starting to try to destroy our history, remove our heroes and the statues, so we wouldn't remember where we came from, so then we wouldn't know where we are going, so we would be easily to persuade us to follow them. And that's what's been going on. That's what critical race theory is all about. It's about getting us to turn on our founders, only looking at, oh, look how evil this country is, and looking at the bad things, but exaggerating the bad things and acting as if there were no good things. Then through the social justice and white privilege and all the other things going on, the communists would be able to have a successful revolution and finally getting us to have full-blown communism, which is their goal. One key thing a lot of people don't talk about, but you always want to remember your history. Whether it's good, bad, indifferent, you want to remember it so you do know where you came from. And if you had a bad path in the past, you know, we don't want to go that way again. We would want to remember America had slaves at one point, and we should be thankful that we corrected that problem inside of our own government. But then we should remember, no, that wasn't a good thing, so we never do it again. In Germany, there it's a perfect example. Have they covered up what happened in World War II? All the concentration camps, Auschwitz, and all those things? No. They have them open to the public where you can still go visit them to see this is where socialism leads. This is where tyranny leads. When you allow man to have absolute power over man, this is where it leads. And they want to remember that, so they never go there again. Well, that's important. Saul Alinsky once said, he said, all revolutions end in communism. And what he meant is they all end in tyranny because the whole idea of them is rebellion. And that's what I want to talk about. America did not have a revolution. I know we call it the Revolutionary War. We should be calling it the War of Independence. The proof of this is in the Declaration, right at the beginning. If you read the very beginning of this, you realize, oh, America did not have a revolution. A revolution is rebellion, destruction, rioting, death, lawlessness. This is not that. Listen, they wanted the world to know exactly what they were doing so it would never be interpreted as it was a rebellious revolution. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, listen to this, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. When you do things in such a civilized, honorable way, that's not a revolution. You're saying, we want to explain to everyone what is going on. So this is not misinterpreted. This is not misconstrued. Where one day it will be compared, the American Revolution will be compared to the French Revolution, like it is today. Nothing could be further from each other. The French Revolution was death, slaughter, destruction, lawlessness to its core. And the American Revolution was righteousness, honorable behavior by honorable people. And that's key for us to know. That's not how you start a revolution, saying we want everyone to know clearly what we are doing. Communists are masters of stirring up chaos and rebellion so they can turn it toward revolution. That is the seeds of every revolution, is rebellion. And rebellion was not the seeds of the War of Independence at all. And it goes on, you know, the king had broken his covenant. The colonies had a covenant with the king, saying, we want you to be our king. And that's fine if you're our king, but here's the things you're going to agree to. And he said, okay. So they had a covenant with each other. But he broke the covenant, which then made him illegitimate. In America today, when our elected officials break their oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, when they break, they're no longer a legitimate power. They have lost their legitimacy. That's why we need a second Declaration of Independence today, because, and where we outline like they did, here's all the things you have done to infringe upon our constitutional God-given rights. Therefore, because you have done these things, we're declaring ourselves independent of you, and you're no longer valid. But here's what they said. In this next line, we're also familiar with, that we think, what's the big deal? It's the first time in world history anything like this was ever said and put down in writing to be upheld. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. What does self-evident mean? It means it's obvious. This is the way God designed things to be. That all men are created equal, and that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unalienable rights. You can't put a lien on them. You can't give them away. You can't, no one can take them from you, but you can't even give them away. The Creator gave them to you, and you are responsible for using them to do what He has asked you to do. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. First time in history, our founders realized, wait a minute, what the book of Romans says in the Bible. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And their point there is only to protect the individual rights of people, to punish those who do evil. And that's what the book of Romans tells us just government is about. All government is not just. It's the ones that are adhering to what the book of Romans says a government is to do. So then down a little bit further, it says this. This is why we're declaring ourselves independent. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And then it goes on through the, and I encourage you to read this tomorrow. All of you read it one line at a time. It talks about all these things he's doing different than what he was supposed to do, what he had agreed to do. And that's why he is now no longer our king, because he broke his oath. The oath is what made him king. He's not king because he just said, I want to be king. Just like our representatives aren't representatives because, well, I just want to be. No, when they break their oath of office, they're no longer in authority. They might still be sitting in that position, but you've sworn. When I became a representative in Idaho, I had to put my hand on the Bible and swear to defend the Constitution. And then when I was done with that, the Speaker of the House said, now you are a representative. The oath is what made me a representative. Not even the people voting for me. That didn't do it. It was the oath that he administered to me because I was the one chosen for that position. But until I took that, I was not a representative. He said, you need to come down to the Capitol so I can swear you in. So that's what we need to remember, how important oaths and covenants and things are. And then when those things are broken, we need to acknowledge that. I think it's very interesting that Americans over the last year have been assured, you're going to have your freedoms back on July 4th, tomorrow, if you all will submit to getting an injection of an experimental vaccine. It's like, no, we already have our freedoms. They cannot be infringed upon. No pandemic, no war, nothing can allow you to take away our God-given rights. And yet most Americans have bought into that and go, oh, okay, we'll finally get back to normal if we do what they tell us. No, things were never not supposed to be normal, regardless of what's going on. Our founders would be shocked to know that the state had come against us and said, you have to do this or you have to do that. Here's some interesting things from our founders that, again, tell us the heart of what they were thinking. Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration, listen to what he said. If people let government decide which foods they eat and medicines they take, their bodies will soon be in as sorry a state as are the souls of those who live under tyranny. He told us exactly for today what that is. Another one from Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration. If a law is unjust, a man is not only right to disobey it, he is obligated to do so. Today, the church is preaching, oh, you must obey the authorities. Paul, who wrote Romans 13, he was the one, they said, you have to leave this town and you have to stop preaching the gospel. He said, no, I will not. And he stayed and he did it. He disobeyed their unjust laws. He's the author of it because they weren't just. We're never supposed to obey unjust laws. It goes on and on. A government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have. Thomas Jefferson. These are so powerful. We need to remember these things. We came from a great heritage of men that were so brilliant and so understood God's word. They so understood world history that they knew here's the way to do things. This is the way God has designed things to operate. In any other way does not work. We know this. And that's why America was so blessed for so long. We've been around 245 years tomorrow. And God has blessed us tremendously because we tried to do it His way. Here's another great quote that's key. This is kind of the last battlefield. They got to get the guns. Everyone needs to mentally draw a line in the sand and know, if they try to take away that God-given right, that is a hill that they're willing to die on. Because I'll tell you this, if you study the 20th century, when people are disarmed, they are abused and slaughtered, and it is not good. But Jefferson said this, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. That's why the Second Amendment is in there. The people right now, the Biden administration, discussing, well, you don't need 30-round clips to hunt Bambi. The 30-round clips aren't for Bambi. They're for us to fulfill what our founding fathers told us to do. Be ready for war, but always be peaceful. But if the day comes when tyranny is there, it's time to rise up and remove that unjust power from authority. The greatest danger to the American freedom is a government that ignores the Constitution. That's what Thomas Jefferson told us. That's what's been going on in our country for 100 years. The Supreme Court keeps redefining what the Constitution means as if they have the power to do that. We know exactly what the Constitution means in every area from the founding documents. They explained in detail the discussions they had about each one. We know exactly what they meant. And the court has said, no, no, we can do it on our own. Here's a really, really good one by Samuel Adams, one of our great founders. Listen to this. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animated contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. Don't leave us. We don't even want you in our ranks. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. That's what they felt about people that loved the ease of life instead of the contest of freedom. I'm encouraging you, we need to mentally prepare to repledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to standing for the God-given rights we have been granted by Him and that have been outlined in our founding documents. Because if we don't, our children will live in chains. And that's so wrong of us to do that. Just a few more of these. They're so wonderful to know where we came from. John Quincy Adams. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. We came from such a great stock. Samuel Adams, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. That's what we need to do. We need to teach our founding principles to our children and grandchildren, to our neighbors and friends, to people we go to church with, where we're setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. That's what we need to do. Because otherwise, man is so prone to just accept the chains of tyranny. As long as, well, I get my favorite show still on TV. We can sink so low if we haven't been inspired and motivated to have an honorable, noble, meaningful life standing for the truth. That's what this is about, the truth. All the principles that made America what it is today are from the Bible, period. And that's why it has been so blessed. And then one last one from George Washington, the father of our country, he said this, if the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. He understood how important the freedom of speech was. It's so vital, and we're losing it today. If you say anything that's not the party line, you're erased, you're removed, your articles are deleted, your videos are taken down. So we're losing that freedom of speech, which means eventually we're going to be like sheep going to the slaughter. Because if we cannot educate those around us, we cannot speak truth and stand against evil tyranny, then it just slowly will overcome and like a wave coming in and just cover us over and we'll be done forever. But as my movies talk about, and as I've talked about before, it's not just us. The day America goes down, the entire world will be in a one-world, global, tyrannical government. The day it happens, we're the only thing holding back the tide of evil men doing everything that they want to do. And that's why when we fight for freedom for ourselves, it's not just for ourselves, it's for so many others around us. Some encouraging news is I've noticed ever since the early 90s when Bill Clinton became president, these principles I've talked about, there are tens of millions of Americans that understand it. They do. I mean, it was interesting to me, every event over the last 30 years when you could tell whether it was a shooting or some other situation where the government was going to try to use the event to abolish the Second Amendment and take our arms, you'd go down to any gun shop, whatever area I lived in at the time, and they were empty. There wasn't a single gun on the shelves. There was no ammo to be had. Did you have anything? No, we don't have anything. And that's happened every single time for 30 years. There's estimated to be a billion guns and billions of rounds of ammo in the possession of the American people. And I know those people that got that and understood they might try to take our guns. They understood why they needed to keep the guns in case they needed to defend their family, their children, their neighbors, their churches, their communities. They understood that. And I hope it doesn't ever come to that. But if it does, we need to be willing to pay that price, because it is better to die on our feet standing for freedom than to live in chains. It is, and it always has been. Men were designed to be free, so we could obey the things God has asked us to do. In the founding documents, it clearly lets us know that all laws must make man observe God's laws, and all laws that contradict the laws of nature and nature's God are illegitimate. So they gave us a clear parameter there. That's the foundation of just law and unjust law. When we obey unjust laws, it gives them the illusion they really have that power, total power, and they will keep overstepping their bounds. And so we cannot allow that to happen. When they pass laws or jurisdictions that are not just and not right and not constitutional, we have to say no, and we have to stand against them. It's getting late in the day, and we need to do that more. Again, there's so much that can be said about our wonderful country. But tomorrow, on July 4th, think about these things and talk about these things and remember that we are one nation under God, and that the Declaration was a blessing to our country by defining for the first time in world history where the rights of men come from. Remember now, the Constitution is wonderful, but it is not the author of our rights. And that's important for our side to know. We hold up the Constitution so high, which is good to a point, but it's like, well, I have a right to bear arms because it says so in the Second Amendment. No, you have a right to bear arms because God intended men to be able to defend themselves. The Constitution was simply our founding fathers stating, here are some of the most obvious areas that mankind has God-given rights. We're going to, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, freedom to, you know, communicate with each other, freedom to bear arms and protect themselves, and on it goes. These are the most obvious. So those can never be infringed upon. The only thing that can be done is add to the Constitution and clearly dictate, here's more rights that we haven't talked about before. But you can't have people say, no, that right is no longer legitimate because they're God-given rights that cannot be infringed. So we need to be educated on that, but we need to educate others about that, that all the rights we have in America are from God Himself. And it's our duty to defend those rights and stand for what is right, because if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. But happy July 4th. Be grateful to God for His many blessings, but be purposeful in recommitting yourself to being willing to stand, regardless of the cost for these things, because it is getting very late in the day. Thank you again for watching, and we appreciate you greatly. And I pray that God will continue to bless us as we try to be a blessing to America and standing for what is right. But until next week, God bless you.